Sarah Mack, and welcome to Creative Magic Club. Together, we'll discover inspirational stories of creative entrepreneurs living out their dreams, doing the work they are most passionate about, and building wealth in magical and fun ways. While building a six-figure income as a writer and coach, helping other women to launch their dream businesses, I've connected with so many incredible people and seen it proven again and again that you can thrive financially doing whatever it is you are passionate about. I am here to share life-changing strategies for mindset, making money, and reaching more people with your work in a business and life filled with creativity, freedom, and fun. Hi everyone, welcome. I'm so excited to introduce my guest today. We have with us Sierra Stokeland, who is an author, speaker, and 3 times Ironman. She has owned and operated businesses since her early teens. As a serial entrepreneur, her business mindset and tenacity led her to opening her first store in 2006, which she then franchised. Her vast experience in both retail and wholesale industries led her to launch the first to market wholesale subscription box for boutique retailers, which she built and sold within 18 months. Most recently, Sierra has launched The Inventory Genius, a coaching program for inventory-based business owners. Hi, Sierra. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, first of all, what's your story? How did you end up? I know, obviously, it sounds like you've been an entrepreneur for a long time. So, how did that evolve to the work that you're doing at the moment?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in an entrepreneurial family, third generation entrepreneur. So I just never thought of anything other than trying to create my own career. I started my first business when I was 13. It was an acting company that I built and grew for about a decade. We had a theater company for college, high school, elementary, public school, private school, homeschool kids. It was a pretty phenomenal classical theater business. And then I got married, had a couple little ones, and decided that the nonprofit world, I was kind of done with nights and weekends. And so I wanted to move on to my next entrepreneurial chapter. And so I opened my first store in 2006. And that's how I got into the inventory space, working with retail and wholesale and product.
So when you say inventory, that just means you have physical products, right?
Yes. Yes, I think of inventory as, I always say it's like cash on hangers, cash in boxes. If you exchange anything for dollar bills, so if you make product, if you sell product, if you sell to retailers or sell to consumers, anytime you exchange something for money, you have inventory.
That's so cool. So coming from a background and having an arts focused business to an inventory focused business, I'm so curious, what are the main differences and pros and cons of each?
Yeah, I think, in the service-based business, arts-based business, what you and I do, we really exchange time for money. And you can get smart as a coach and you can have offers where it's, multiple people in one offer. And there's different ways that we can slice and dice it. But really, we're exchanging time and knowledge for money. When you have a product-based business, you're exchanging things for money. And so that's very different because you have to learn how those things impact your cash flow. So with coaching, consulting, the arts, teaching, anything like that, you can just change the way that you structure your offers. But with inventory-based businesses, you really have to look at what you have on your shelf, where the demand is, inventory lifespan, and how that inventory turns, because it can really tie up cash very, very quickly.
Right. And even just talking about it, the one thing that's standing out to me is it just feels slower. I feel like when you don't have physical products, you can change things really quickly. You can change information on a website, you can change, the information that you're going to share, how you're going to show up. But when you have physical products, obviously making those changes, it costs a lot more money and probably takes a lot more time, right?
Yes. And I think mistakes are much more costly. So when you have a service-based business, you can, like you said, you can adjust, you can change on a dime. When you have inventory, you make a mistake, you have too much inventory, you feel that much longer, and it's much more difficult to maneuver through, maybe some of those mistakes that you would make. And so a lot of times when service-based business owners decide to add an inventory offering, so maybe they're a coach or consultant and they come up with a planner. I knew a gal who was a blogger. and she basically blogged about deals. So she had a service-based business and decided, why not sell physical planners to my clients? Suddenly, she's like, where did all my money go? It's all sitting in a warehouse now. And what if people don't like those planners? Or what if they arrive too late? So it's a whole different component when you have inventory.
Right. I mean, even, you know, I've just finished writing my first book. Like, that's, I mean, that can be an ebook, you know, for like e-readers, but that will be like a first product in my business, essentially. And yeah, it takes space. Like, you need space to put it if you're going to like order a bunch and have them around. And yeah, it's definitely a very different mindset, particularly for somebody like me who, you know, I started out as a digital entrepreneur living out of a suitcase, like traveling. Yes. Like, definitely didn't have room for extra inventory. It's a bit of a different story now though, but yeah, it just feels like such a different vibe for a business. And like you say, the risks that come with it are just more costly. So presumably you felt more confident going into a product-based business, having had like a background of business experience with your previous business.
Yeah, I don't know if that's why I felt confident or if it was because I was just naive. I figured, yeah, I'll just figure it out. I made so many mistakes with my inventory though, and my cash flow at the beginning, because I did not, and for many years, because I didn't understand how the inventory directly related to cash. So when I work with a product-based business owner, one of the first things they'll often say is, I have so much money coming in and my financials show a profit at the end of the year. Where's the money? Like, I don't have that money. And so teaching how it's tied to the flow of inventory is really important. And that took me a long time to learn. So I was really confident in certain elements, marketing, sales, merchandising, buying. But when it came to my financials and building profit, I was not confident whatsoever.
Yeah, I want to talk about this because, like, cash flow management, I feel like as a human, as it is like something that the majority of us are kind of not educated in and unskilled in. And then when it comes to business and, you know, obviously managing overheads, even though with consulting and digital businesses, generally that the overhead is very low for like on average for a business. And, you know, this conversation around profit, like that was an idea that was kind of new to me already several years into my business. Like, obviously, you know, I was making money, but just this idea of having a profit margin and thinking about it in terms of nurturing the profit of your business versus just revenue and, you know, and sales, and looking at that as like a different aspect and a different metric. It took me, I mean, I'm still wrapping my head around that, to be perfectly honest with you. So I would love to hear, like, what is your take on being profit focused? What are some of the mistakes that you see people make? And like, what do you wish more people knew?
Yeah, I think the biggest mistake we all make as entrepreneurs is we chase the top line number instead of the bottom line number. So we chase that sale. Like, I want to be a 7-figure boutique owner. I want to be a 6-figure business. I want to, you know, a scalable offer in our world. We hear that a lot, make a scalable offer. However, like, what does that mean? Because I can be a multi-million dollar business owner and not take a paycheck. So I was a $1 million business owner. I had a team of 12 people. They always got a consistent paycheck, and some of them were paid very well. I was not paying myself. So it didn't really matter that I had a 7-figure business if I'm not taking home a paycheck and I'm working for free. And so I think that's the biggest mistake. Really hand in hand with that is this thinking. I don't know where this came from, where it originated. I'll probably never know. But this myth that as business owners, we have to work for free for, you know, multiple years. We're never going to have a profitable business until like year 3 or year 5. We're told these things. And so then we build our business that way. And I like to flip that script and say, why can't you be profitable from day one? Why can't you take the biggest paycheck in your company, you know, as the business owner? And so those are some things that we're told. And then we build our business on that way of thinking. And so that's where I really love to challenge business owners.
I love that so much. And yeah, I think something that I talk about is getting paid to learn. And, you know, that originated for me because it's a similar narrative with working in film. Like, that was my prior career. Everyone was like, well, you have to do an intern for a year unpaid, you know, internship, if anyone's going to ever hire you for any job ever. And I'm like, who can work for free?
But why?
Like, not me.
Yeah.
There are people out there who like have rich parents are going to pay their rent and like, you know, cover their entire cost of living apparently. But for a lot of us, that's not the case. And so, you know, and I did like a couple weeks of working for free in a festival, interning after I graduated. And, you know, I met a producer there and, you know, the stars aligned and I got my first film job pretty quickly. But it just required for me to be resourceful. And I, you know, and I do believe that when it's like, it's about standards really. Like when you set, you have a standard and you're not willing to go below that, then you get really resourceful and you can create like any type of opportunity for yourself. And yeah, I love what you're saying. It's just a different way of thinking about it. It's a different metric. Maybe you're not building like the seven figure business now, right from the beginning, but you just become profitable where you're at with the current level of resources that you're at. And that was the same for me when I jumped into entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, what skills do I have? What knowledge do I have? How can I help people? And I definitely, you know, massively undercharged at the beginning, but I was still making money and getting clients and building my portfolio. So I think that's such a great conversation and just like challenging whatever people have heard. Hey, I have a really exciting new free series that I want to make sure you know about. It's called Sign Soulmate Clients with Astrology. And I created this because when I work with clients using their astrology charts, they stop trying to sell offers in a way that feels like pushing a boulder up a hill. They start selling what they're really excited to offer. They raise their rates, often doubling them, and soulmate clients start showing up more quickly and easily than ever, which is why I'm so thrilled to share this special three-part training series with you to show you how to read specific parts of your chart to cut the drama of overthinking your storytelling and your prices and cut straight to the actions and insights that lead to signing soulmate clients consistently with ease month after month. So when you sign up, you're gonna get instant access to video number one, which is all about signing soulmate clients by selling from your sun sign. Video number two is about tapping into your sales flow through your second house. And video number three is going to show you how to create your unique ritual for consistent clients and money flow. You don't need to know anything more than your birth time, date, and place, and I will show you what you need to know about your birth chart. This is for anyone looking to create a more consistent flow of sales from soulmate clients. And you can find this by going to my website with sarahmack.com under the freebies tab or by the link in my bio on my social channels. So, okay, please tell me, what are some of the things to focus on, watch out for, to set yourself up to be highly profitable and to be well paid, kind of from where you're at no matter where you're beginning?
Yeah, I think the number one thing is to understand what the numbers are saying and what numbers are relevant to your business. So this does not mean you need to be an accountant or a bookkeeper. I could say most entrepreneurs either abhor the numbers or feel very not confident when it comes to numbers. And so they avoid them and we lean into what we're good at. I'm good at selling. I'm good at people skills. I'm good at buying, whatever that might be. I'm good at coaching. But you need to be the boss of your business. So to my business owners that I work with, I always say, stop playing store with your store and start leading your business. And so that means that I understand, while I might not be the most proficient when it comes to numbers in my business, I will know everything about them. So what does that mean? That means we understand how a profit and loss flows. If you can just work on that first. So we have our sales and then we have the cost of those sales. Understanding that if you're service-based, you still have cost of sales. So whether that be 1099s, if you have subcontractors or, you know, any type of product. And then what does that leave you for gross margin? Because gross margin then is what you get to work with in the operations of your business. And then below the gross margin, we have all of our expenses and that leaves us with the net profit. So if you can just follow those five categories and really understand what's going on in each of them, that will put you light years ahead of so many other entrepreneurs.
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it? Because I was like a very money organization avoidant person when I became started out as a business, and I didn't do any of my bookkeeping. Like, I tracked everything coming in, but I wasn't good at tracking what was going out. So by the time tax season came around, I literally have to go through all of my like crazy spreadsheets and like all of my bank accounts. It was literally like the worst time of my entire year. It's like getting into it was a very emotionally challenging time for me. But once I was in it, I actually really enjoyed it. And just so many insights about my business would start to land and like, oh,
yes.
You know, like here are the things that are actually making me the money. And here are the things that didn't make me so much money. And I would reflect on how much time and energy and resources I was putting into those things. And it just informs smart business making. And it's such useful data. And, you know, it took me a couple of years to realize that I just needed a bookkeeper, and that was like very high priority for me. And now I just don't have to do any of that work. And
great.
I
get all
of these incredible reports that, you know, give me all of that information. So why do you think we don't look at this? Like, why do you think it's so common for business owners to not be like looking at this data?
I think there's a few different reasons that we could unpack. Really, how you were raised and to think about money, it really does play a role, right? If money was really tight, if you grew up really poor, let's say, and money was scarce, you're going to look at things differently. If there was an abundance of money, you're going to look at things differently. If you've made really poor financial decisions in the past and you feel guilt and shame about that, you're going to look at money. And so money, our numbers is all money, right? Our numbers in our business, each of our numbers is tied to a dollar. If you're in the US, you know, a dollar bill. And so just learning that we can rise above whatever mistakes we've made in the past or whatever ignorance we feel like we have, we can learn those skills. I think building that confidence then gets us excited. Like you said, once you start digging into it, this can actually be really neat because the numbers give me power to make good decisions. I'm not relying on my gut to build my business anymore. But I think that's why it's, you know, what's happened in the past. And then just, you know, not a desire. Like if you're not a math person, if you're not a science person, and you really have that tendency to be really good people person, we want to lean into whatever is easy. Our brain wants us to do what's easy and comfortable. And so we just avoid, and the longer we avoid, the harder it is to dig into something. So we have to decide that that's going to be a priority in our business.
Yeah. And one thing that I noticed is because of like those patterns and all of that emotional stuff that was attached to the topic of money and looking at money and organizing money, like it did take a lot of time and energy in the beginning because of that. But once I had kind of committed to that, realizing that, you know, it was just like a self-care thing, this has to be done if I want to succeed in my business, if I want to have peace in my relationship with money, over time, I've kind of obviously dealt with the emotional overwhelm. And I'm kind of at this phase now where I'm surprised at how little time it actually takes. Like, it's definitely the emotional overwhelm that makes it complicated and time intensive. But once you have systems and habits and, you know, you've kind of been through that learning curve, which is normal around anything that you don't have knowledge or skill around, it can actually take very small amounts of time to be able to integrate that into the day-to-day, you know, week-to-week, month-to-month activities. But I'm curious to hear from you. Obviously, I'm sure it's very different from business to business. And when you have product inventory, there's probably a lot more work that goes into it. And you probably have team to help you with that. But like, as you're where you are as a CEO, how much time do you think you put in on like a daily, weekly, monthly basis to actually like looking at your numbers?
Yeah. So me, myself, or my clients? Yeah. Oh, not very much at all. Yeah. And so a lot of the complexity in our business actually comes from not knowing our numbers. So we feel like if we have to take time out of our day and figure out the numbers and do something we don't like, we just don't have time. It's going to add more. It's so overwhelming. But a lot of the complexity, the indecisiveness, the bad mistakes, the like checking this account, moving money over, all of that takes a lot of time and energy. And so when we get a handle on our money, a handle on understanding our numbers, that becomes very systematic. So every Monday I look at this, how many people do I have? What's my conversion rate? Whatever those metrics are for you. So we look at that, it's very quick. And then we can make very good decisions. So we're not spending all this excess time. And because we can make good clarifying decisions, we suddenly grow more money. Like that's just how it works, right? So as we can simplify down, then we often increase our overall volume and our sales. So the thing that we're fighting is actually what will give us freedom to grow and to be financially free.
So good. Something that I want to mention that I recently found out about, which is so great. So you obviously are familiar with the book Profit First.
Yes.
Yeah. So that had been on my reading list for years and I still haven't read it. I've like read some of it. I have so much resistance to it. I've enjoyed the parts that I've read. I haven't finished it, but since moving to the US, which, you know, living outside of the US, you often run into these frustrations of like all of these amazing like tools, products and software that's like only available in the US and like sure. You can't use, especially when it comes to banking. But there's one bank called Relay and they've yes. actually partnered with Profit First and they now have yes. this automatic system. So you can actually set your percentages and everything that comes in to your business bank account then like automatically gets separated into like profit, operating, like owner's pay. And I'm like, this is amazing.
So easy. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, like you said, it's that like actually setting up the systems and then yeah, setting that habit of just checking your numbers and doing it regularly, knowing that that action, you know, what you pay attention to grows and expands is going to have that ripple effect and it's going to inform different decision making in your business, which is going to lead to more profit. So I would love to know, like when you kind of stepped into that, I'm gonna be radical and pay myself, you know, and take a stand for really paying myself a lot of money in my business. Like, what did that process look like for you from going from not paying yourself at all to taking a stand to paying yourself yeah. money?
So for me, it was a very dramatic story, which I do not wish on anyone. I talk through it in my book a little bit, but I had to come to a very, very, very low spot where we literally lost everything, including our house, to wake me up, to say like, I'm not building a business like this anymore. Like I am not working for free. I'm not going to be on the, you know, on call 24/7, because what did that get me? Like everybody else got their paycheck. Everyone else walked away. And here I am on the couch by myself with nothing. And so when I built the next business, I said, I'm going to do it different this time, where it's built around what I really want in life, where it's built around what success looks like to me. So not a multi-million dollar business, unless that's what I want, but what success looks like to me. And we're going to start out with the fact that like no one in my business, subcontractor or employee, will ever make more than I do. So if I get to a point where they're making more, and that's just me, you know, personally, then we're going to reevaluate. We're not going to get upside down in this again. And so my motto now, no leases, no loans, you know, no people. I have subcontractors, but I don't have employees. And so I really had to reach the lowest low, and I don't want that for anyone. We want to be able to have this wake up moment before we get to a spot where we have no other choice. And so I think if you're listening and you feel like there's a tension here, I'm not comfortable with where my business is going, I feel like something's off, you need to listen to that now instead of just pushing it aside and, you know, thinking it'll fix itself, because numbers don't fix themselves. I had a client once, this is such a great illustration. So in one of my programs, everybody enters their number, we benchmark together. And she just was never entering her numbers on Monday. And she'd say, oh, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And it's part of the program. And so finally I said, okay, you have been committing to do this for months and you haven't. Tell me what is going on. And she said, I don't like what they are. I don't want to look at them. So I'm not entering them. And I said, but here's the thing, whether you look at them or not, they're the same. So if we look at them, we can fix them. But if you keep avoiding them, you are going to end up in a really bad position. And I think just we all need to remember that our numbers are what they are. The money in the bank account is what it is, whether we open it and look or not. So let's be realistic. Let's lay it out on the table so we can make a plan.
Such an important message. Yes. Just the looking at it. I know it's so simple and we can like overcomplicate money mindset until the cows come home. But like, if we just look at our numbers consistently, it will change. Like you will make different decisions. So tell me about your book. What is it about? What was the process like for you in writing it?
Yeah. So The Inventory Genius came out in April. And it's really a compilation of my story. I have a pretty crazy story, part of which I told you, of losing everything, and some of the success stories of my clients. And I just took the framework that I use with all of my coaching clients and walk through it in the book and simplify it down. Because I feel like even if we say, yes, Sierra, I am tired of living in the dark, I want to know what's going on with my finances, it's very scary. And a lot of times we don't know where to start. Or when we go to get professional help, they overcomplicate everything. It's like talking doctories and like, I don't even know what you're saying. And then we just quit. And so it's just a very simple walkthrough of how we can look at how cash flows in and out of our business, how we can make practical, bite-sized, actionable steps every day to keep moving forward. And then it weaves in story, because I think as humans, we want to be able to say like, that's me. Oh my goodness, I'm not the only one who X, Y, Z. And so it brings together encouraging stories and then some warning stories from my own past entrepreneurial journey. And then some really amazing wins from people who have chosen to make the right decision and focus on their numbers.
Wow. It sounds incredible. Sounds like every entrepreneur needs to read this book. I can't wait to get my hands on it. So thank you for this awesome conversation today. Please tell us, like, the people who are interested in what you're up to, what have you got going on, and where can people find you?
Yeah. So the easiest way to find me is just at my website, sierrastockland.com, or follow me on Instagram. I'm very active over there, at Sierra Stockland.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Sierra. Thank you everybody for joining us. Please share this with all of your entrepreneur friends who need to be having this conversation, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
All right. Thank you.
For more inspirational content, head over to my website withsarahmack.com, and please support the show by liking, commenting, and subscribing.